Blog Talk Radio.
Oh man, it was just the beginning of everything for me. Let's just say that. If I was to describe it, I would say the beginning of everything. The beginning of the limelight, the beginning of my voice, the beginning of the stardom track. And I learned a lot, and Hair Radio carried me so far to, I just can't describe the excitement and how happy and how Hair Radio changed my life.
Oh.
Hair Radio changed my life, and it's because of Hair Radio that I was able to continue to push through, able to continue to build and go forth. And
it's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Gary Hines.
Welcome to the Hair Radio Show on Blog Talk Radio. He's the host with the most, Mr. Gary Hines.
Good morning, and welcome to an all-new live edition of the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're the longest-running daily live broadcast on hair in the world, 25 years and counting. Now, on today's broadcast, we've got the latest in hair and beauty talk, great music, and much, much more. I must thank our Carafe Hair Products, Hair Nation Expo Events, Salon TV Network, and all of our amazing advertisers who are responsible for getting this episode on the air. Now, if today is your first time tuning in, thank you. And remember to press 1 to make a live comment or shout-out during the show. We're here each weekday from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 5 to 8 Central. Now grab your cup of coffee and enjoy today's show.
Because
know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution. Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
This is Queen Tree, and I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your 2 feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? Not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women. And Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit FixYourFeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
When I created Carapy several years back, I was looking to do something big in the way of hair loss. As host of the show and all these other amazing things and being in and around the hair and beauty folks for so long, and listening to the cries, the deafening cries of our amazing fans who suffer with hair loss, and it affects so many people. We're talking high numbers here who struggle with hair loss. And the medical term alopecia. And so I wanted to address this product line in something that I felt could make a difference and literally give them a fighting chance to have another opportunity at growing their hair back. And I have to say, what I was able to work with, folks who understood my idea for a scientific approach, along with some amazing all-natural ingredients. And when it comes to product lines, everything is about having, what goes in that bottle be the best that it can be. And then also coupling it with an amazing name and branding. And that's what we did with Carapy. And after rigorous testing and all of that, it was ready to make its debut. And I'm so proud. Our amazing hair shampoo and conditioner was released with amazing results. To folks who have, it's made its way all the way over to Africa. I'm so proud of that. We've had distributors all over the country. We have orders that are placed to, folks who carry our products at their hair salons and barbershops. And what I love about Carapy is that it's used for men and women equally. And so it's good for the whole family. And it's all about stimulation of the scalp. And Carapy specializes in that. And that's what I'm so happy about. Now, it took some work to get it off the ground. So I don't want folks thinking that it's so easy to develop products. It is not. It is work. And you need a plan. and an effective product. And so, otherwise you can be in big trouble. So, I'm so very happy that we have Carapi, and we will always have Carapi. It is 100%, it's amazing, and I love it, and this is just the beginning for Carapi. So, the shampoo, conditioner, and our amazing beard oil that does so much for the guys. So, you know, this is something that is fantastic. The barbershops carry our Carapi beard oil in their shops. We have all kinds of wholesale, you know, opportunities. You could even be a distributor for the beard oil. You could be a distributor for the shampoo and conditioner. We also have a complete line that is also being released as well. And so many other things. And I just want to say thank you to the many customers and fans of our Carapi products. And we thank you. And if you would like to order Carapi, certainly you can reach us, as you know, on the internet through our social media. Or you can simply go to our website at HAIRadio.com and contact us. Or just give us a call at our amazing, brand-new customer service number, which is 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. It's a toll-free number. And so I thank you for supporting my brand. And by the way, it's Carapi, as in carry and therapy. Thank you.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. There means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned hair care challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, Hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-Owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Now, I have a very, very special guest coming to us, well, from the world of business and, I'm going to say, entertainment. I want to welcome a very, very special guest again to the Hair Radio Show. Brandy J., good morning. Hello. How are you?
Good. How are you? Good afternoon. I'm good.
Yes. Well, I'm doing great. Well, listen, it's a great thing to have you with us on the show today. It really is. I have a lot to get into with you today. So first, I want you to tell the folks a little bit about your journey. And I had a chance to read a little bit, but, you know, bring us, introduce yourself to our fans of the Heritage Awards.
Great. Well, I am the creator and founder of Lux Curves Magazine. We are a lifestyle publication, empowering lifestyle publication for curvy women of color. And I started the magazine about 7 years ago. I wanted to change the perception of how curvy women of color were perceived in the media based off how I was raised by my grandmother, my mother, and my father. And that what prompted me to launch the magazine after I came back from New York and did New York Fashion Week Plus in 2015. Mm. So I'm the creator in front of New York Fashion Week Plus. I did that in 2015. And then from the magazine, I have a media background and went to school for media and then was kind of skeptical putting myself in front of the camera. My mom was like, you went to school for this. This is who you are. And at the time, I was more skeptical because of my size and, you know, having my third child and things like my second child and all that. So for me, it was more like, okay, just getting comfortable within my skin. And I was like, well, how can I empower other women to do that if I'm not doing it myself? So that's what prompted me to get in the front of the camera doing on-camera interviews with celebrities. And then that turned into the Brandy J talk show. Which I have done 5 seasons of, and right now we're in the process of getting it rebranded and pitched to major networks, and just really showing the world that you don't have to fit the what they perceive as beautiful to be in media. And I tell people, you know, I'm curvy, I'm African American, tattooed, and I'm proud. And I said, this is who I am. And, you know, when you don't have a seat at the table, I always created my own seat and just started my own media entertainment company. So now we have the magazine and the talk show, and I do other women empowerment events throughout San Diego, L.A., New York, and in the process of developing other shows for my company.
Yes. Well, first of all, you have a personality of you know, for the ages, really. I was just blown away, bubbly and just wonderful, really. And
thank
I believe that, yeah, that's what I believe connects with everybody. I know that. So yeah, so first of all, like, I have to go back a little bit, because where did you get that, you know, that certain something that, you know, that you're going to, you know, just be yourself and have people accept you for who you are when there's so many messages. So many messages.
Oh my God. It was my grandmother. She was she did not bite her tongue, hold her tongue. Like, whatever she wanted to say is what she said. And with me being the youngest, and I'm the only, there's about 14 grandkids, and I'm the only one who looks like her. So I came out with her hair texture, her skin color, everything. Wow. So in my family, they call me Little Sarah. So I just, like, you know, so obviously she gravitated towards her Little Sarah. Mm-hmm. So she helped my mother and father raise me, but she was the one who really instilled the confidence in me, and defended me and protected me amongst, you know, family members who would say things. For example, like my sister and my cousin, they will always tell me, oh, you're the white sheep of the family because you're light skinned, and dad is not your dad. The milkman is your dad. Like, they will say these things to me as a kid. And one time my grandmother was over my house and growing up, and I went in the house crying, and I told her what happened because she asked me what was going on. And then she was so blunt. She basically, she told them, she was like, don't get mad because she's a house and y'all in the field. And I'm just like, 10 years old and my grandmother's saying this. And she was, and she said things like that. And she will also just tell me, you know, don't let no one make you feel different from how God made you. This is who you are. You can't, you didn't, you know, it's not like you could go and tell God, you know, give me these eyes, give me this skin color, give me this hair. And, you know, she was like, always be proud of who you are. And she was the ultimate, to me, curvy woman. Bold, outspoken, elegant, classy. Like, my mom and dad, we would have parties growing up, and my grandmother and my aunts would come in furs and diamonds. And it was, to me, that was normal. Just seeing a powerful, curvy woman in her skin, loving who she was and didn't care. So that's where it started from, just being around my grandmother growing up. And, you know, there, you know, when I was younger, my dad at 10 put me on my first diet. I didn't think nothing was wrong until, like, I told my mama, so I remember the day, like, he called you and he told you, don't feed, you know, me and my cousin. He was bringing us something home to eat, and I'm thinking it's something great. And he brought home these salads, and he had us sit in the corner and eat the salads while the other kids were eating, like, hamburgers and hot dogs. And at that time, you're 9 and 10. You're like, what's going on? And that's when he was like, well, you need to lose weight. And my mom and my grandmother, I remember yelling at him. And that was the trigger for me. Like, what's wrong with me? And that started my journey with having an eating disorder and just being harder on myself about my weight. And then other things that started happening in my life, you know, from that moment. And it just really just made me just sit back and be like, okay, I'm not going to be skinny like my sister. I'm going to be who I am. So how do I embrace it? And it was at the age of 15 when I just said, forget this, I'm tired of this. And I embraced my curves and my thunder thighs and thick thighs. And then when I started saying, yes, I'm proud of my thunder thighs, no one could say anything. And I always tell people, if you put your flaws out there and accept them and say, this is what I have, no one can say anything about it.
You know, I love your words, and they're so positive and, you know, just inspiring. And, but it's awful that you have to put what you might perceive to be your flaws. Because, you know, the way I look at it, and Brandy, I look at it this way. I look at it that the very thing that you may think are your flaws, to me, those are really, folks call it your superpower, folks call it your gifts, all of those things. And I really believe that that is what you're put here to work with. It is the thing, you know, and let me tell you, I just going through your story, just, it's unbelievable. And the fact that you have such a positive attitude and just always, you know, just being so full of positivity and wanting folks to, you know, embrace, you know, themselves the way they are, what have you, it's unbelievable. And just, you know, I take my hat off to you. And just having so, you know, to come from a dad doing something like that, or, you know, calling you names and all of this, doing far more damage than any type of weight could ever do. You know, let's talk about the way things have kind of maybe a little bit have maybe changed. I'll say they've changed, but what do you say, Brandy? Do you think folks kind of still look at it? It's a little bit more acceptance these days. Did you find that, or do you find that?
I honestly, I'm just going to be candid with you. I find it that they're more accepted to it if it come, if I'm just going to be candid, if it's on a white woman. Than it is a black woman.
Ooh, okay.
So I do feel like, and I've always been vocal about this, in the plus size industry, you know, there's so many beautiful black curvy women. And I always tell people, it was our body types as black women that started this industry. Because we were, you know, we have, you know, thick thighs and small waist and big butt. Like, this is naturally who we are. This is in our genes, in our DNA. And we started the plus size industry, but if, you know, you have white women be a part of it, then it goes bigger. And then they get the recognition of doing all these great things. And you, and I'm looking at it from a standpoint of there's so many other black women who've been in the industry longer who have paved the way, but we don't get the recognition, the right recognition as we should as white curvy women. Because when they do it, oh, it's a trend. And I'm looking at it like it's not a trend. This is our lifestyle. This is who we are. And we've been doing this since birth. This is just, you know, and I'm very vocal about that. And I think that's, you know, part of the reason probably why I'm, everyone has always said, you're not at the level of success you need to be at because of you being so outspoken and vocal. Again, I said, I'm being honest. I said, I'm going to be authentic and be honest to who I am because that's how you make change. And that's why I started my publication featuring curvy women of color because I'm like, this is who started this industry. This is the woman that needs to be recognized. And I'm if God gave it in me to do it, I'm going to do it. Has it been hard? Hell yeah, it's hard. You know, I'm a single mother. You know, I've had, you know, two ex-husbands who try to destroy me. You know, my first ex-husband was physically abusive.
Wow.
Physically, emotionally, and sexually abusive to me. My second ex-husband was emotionally abusive and financially abusive. And I was able to get out of the relationship, the marriages, and come into my own as a woman and as a, you know, as a single mother and still do everything I have to do for my brand while, you know, supporting my household and, you know, still working a full-time job and doing all these things. So for me, it's more like I know God put me here to do this and he said it wasn't going to be easy, and but at times it is hard. And he does put me in positions to where I have to continue to keep going even when I don't want to. It was, you know, last year my daughter's father, my first ex-husband, died of COVID. And I was the one who had to plan his funeral.
You
who had
to for take the care of his person who was physically abusive.
Yes. And it didn't dawn on me until my brother said something. He said, he was like, sis, like, do you realize what you're doing? I said, no, I'm just, you know, doing what's right, you know. And he was like, this man tried to destroy you. And, like, he beat you and tried to, you know, kill you and do all these things to you. And here you are, you know, we have been divorced for 18 years, but, you know, here you are planning this man's funeral, handling all his affairs to the point that his family didn't do it and the mother of his other kids would not do it. And, you know, they both said, they were like, we could not do what you did. Like, how you handled this with such grace and elegance.
How did you handle it like that? Like, how? Wow.
Honestly, I would have to say, I did it for my daughter. You know, she's 20, and losing a parent, I know that pain. I lost my father 7 years ago. So, and she, you know, her being 20, and she, you know, she has ADHD and epilepsy, her maturity level is always 2 years behind her actual age. So even though she's 20, she has a maturity level as an 18-year-old. I knew she could not handle this. As the pressure, as the stress, as everything. So as her mother, I said, I have to take this off of her and carry it and put everything aside. And, you know, when people found out and they're like, you really are healed. I said, I actually gave this man years ago.
Awesome.
And I said, at the end of the day, he's a human being.
Yes. Well, let me tell you, I have to say, let me just bring everybody up to speed. Folks, if you're just tuning in, again, you're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. And my very, very special guest is Brandy J. And you guys know her. She's the amazing, I'm going to call you an entrepreneur to the max.
Thank you.
Yeah. And what I also love, you've had some challenges as you've shared. I mean, that's an understatement. But I love how you just have a big heart. You've done a lot of things to help folks who have been in similar situations, you know, and I'm just blown away. I really am. I'm almost speechless. I think about what you did just to even start your magazine. I'm just, it's just amazing to help women who you describe as, you say the word curvy. So what exactly does the word curvy mean? When we say a woman's curvy, to change it up a little bit, what does the word curvy mean?
So when I got into the plus size industry, I got a lot of hate from within the industry. And I was told, you're not big enough to be plus size. And I said, well, what do you mean? They're like, well, you have a flat stomach and a small waist. And I said, okay, I can't help the fact that I'm built like this, you know, but I said, I'm not a size 2. You know, at the time I started the industry, I was size 16, 18, but I still had like, it's a blessing, I guess, you know, a flat stomach and small waist. It's how majority of the women in my family are built. Even, you know, my niece who is a size 6, but she has small waist, flat stomach and thick thighs and a big, like, it's just who we are. It's just how the women in our family are built. So when they were saying that to me, I said, well, what do you mean? Like, I'm not big enough to be considered plus size, so I'm not skinny enough to be considered skinny, so what am I? And then I just sat back and I thought about it. I said, well, I'm curvy and thick. So when I launched the publication, and it's Lux Curves, and it's for, I always say curvy and plus size, because they don't like to group us in together. It's either you're curvy or you're plus size or you're BBW. And I always tell people there is a difference between the three.
Tell us what that difference is.
So BBW is going to be a big, beautiful woman. And I'm not a BBW. I would never consider my size a BBW because it's morally like women who are, I would say, 300 and up pounds, depending on how their body is shaped. You know, you can Google BBW and you'll see them and you're just like, okay, then you have plus size women who, you know, they're just naturally plus size and they're thicker. And then I say you have curvy women who are just, we have the small waist, the small stomach, and we have the thick thighs. We are shaped like a Coca-Cola body, a bottle that's curvy. So I always educate people because they like to lump us all together. And I tell people, like, I'm not a BBW. Like, don't call me something I'm not, you know, and or whatever. So once they are educated on it, they have a better understanding of the industry and just, you know, why I decided to separate it out from curvy, plus size, and BBW.
And this is an industry. Let's make no bones about it. It is an industry. How do you describe the industry to folks who, you know, may not realize that there is an industry that really celebrates women who are curvy?
We kind of lump them into, like, we lump ourselves into the plus size industry because that's kind of like the only industry right now that is, you know, anytime you, like, have, like, fashion shows or anything and it's a size, you know, 12 and up, 10 and up, it's considered plus size, you know, so that's what the standard term is. So even when I've done my fashion shows or modeling, I always have to say plus size models because that's what the models are trained to think of, you know, for them because they are plus size. And I started, you know, rebranding and changing things just to say curvy and, you know, just be proud of your curves, so, you know, and just embrace them. And I tell people, I never want to be a size 2 or 0. I never want to be that size. I will look like a freaking crackhead. And it would not look good on my body frame. And I tell people that all the time. Like I just said, you know, I love how God made me. So am I in the process of toning it up? Yes, because I like to work out, go to the gym, and I want to tone it up. I'm 42 years old, you know. I want to make sure, for one, I never look my age, and I'm just a healthy version of myself.
Absolutely. And the other thing, let me ask you a question. Let's turn it around the other way. Do you ever think that would it be nice not to have these labels? I was just, as you were describing all of this and you were breaking it down as I asked, and I appreciate it, I was just thinking, I said, I can't even imagine as a guy, you know, being, I can't even imagine like somebody asking me, well, Carrie, you know, how does it feel? What, you know, with the different shape and your, we just don't get that kind of judgment. We just don't. Now, maybe at a certain point in age, you know, we get the dad bod type, you know, thing. That might be the worst we have to deal with. I can't imagine that you're constantly, your whole life, being judged by your appearance. And I think it was your grandmother who, you know, you did not choose your appearance. And a lot of it has to do with our hereditary and physiological, you know, background or what have you. It just, it boggles the mind that this, that this country, that the world, and for a lot of the different places, are the same way, where this, you know, you have so much to contend with as, you know, in terms of a female trying to just be accepted. Like, it's mind-blowing to, you know, to the guys out here who take the time to listen to the stories. I'm just blown away with this show. Listen, I have to tell you, Brandy, my guest is Brandy J. I'm so excited to have you here. You,
thank you.
Yes, well, you check a lot of boxes for women and for guys, too. I'm going to go ahead and put it on out there. As an entrepreneur, as someone who's trying to make a difference, and not just trying, you are making a difference, I think it's incredible.
Thank you.
It's absolutely incredible. So I just love it, and I love we've got a few guests in common on some of the folks who've been on our shows. So I'm just loving that part of just looking at some of your things. I said, wow, how awesome! Oh yes, I'm loving it. So now, what is next? I know you are shopping your show around. I get it, believe me. But what are some of the things long term that you see Brandy J accomplishing?
Wow, one thing I want to do, I will do, I want to have a community for women of domestic violence. So one of my goals in life is to have like a community where they can come and live, you know, secretly with their family, with their kid, to get their life together. And then we offer them, you know, training for jobs or starting their own business and having funding to help them start their own business. That's one thing I've always just been passionate about, because when I went through my situation, I didn't have anyone. I had to get out of it myself. I, you know, even my family wouldn't really help me. So I'm, you know, young single mother, and I had to get out of it myself and rebuild my life and put myself in therapy and do all these things to help me not allow that situation to destroy my whole life. And I didn't want to be the victim. And I don't label myself as a victim. I'm a survivor of it, because I survived it and I elevated. You know, this man didn't want me going to graduating college, didn't want me. He thought, you know, I'm leaving. You know, I left him, and he was thinking, well, if I'm not a good father, you can't do what you need to do because you're going to have our daughter. He wouldn't do a lot of things when he was alive. He wouldn't see her. He wouldn't do so many things. And it never stopped me. Like, I still graduated college. I still did what I needed to do and be who I needed to be, not only for myself, but for my kids. So for one, that's one thing. Another thing is I really want to just really continue doing what I'm doing and change how media perceives us. And that's why I'm so, you know, determined to have my show picked up by a network, because I don't look like everybody else. I'm not.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
Ladies, do you love a man with a well-groomed and sexy beard? Men, do you suffer from patchiness or irritation and want a fuller beard? Well, let me introduce you to the hottest beard care products on the market. Rugged Evolution features 16 amazing balms, oils, shampoos, and accessories. Our products are sure to meet the demands of all your beard care needs. For more information, go to ruggedevo.com. That's ruggedevo.com.
And remember, rugged is the new smooth.
shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Terry Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Terry Hines.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. I have a very special guest co-host joining me on the line right now. It is my great honor and pleasure to welcome back the one and only Mary Reed Johnson from Hair Head Heart. Good morning, Mary, and welcome back to the show.
Awesome. Good morning, Carrie. This is like super day. Every day is super day if you choose it to be.
Well, this is true. It's a super day just to wake on up, everybody. And that's a good way to say we're happy that you wake up with us here at the broadcast each morning. So now listen, Mary, I want to kind of jump right on in. It's about recognizing the amazing legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. What do you have for us this morning?
Well, you know, there's at least 10 things we're going to talk about today. Let's say
wow.
10 things right. that people should know about Martin Luther King Jr. How's
awesome.
That?
Let's say that. 10 things that you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Okay, awesome. I am ready for number 10. I thought I knew everything, so I should be pretty good at this. Dr. Martin Luther King's legacy.
Well, and that's the thing. Most people do. Yeah, most people. I mean, he's been with us in spirit for many, many years. There's a lot of information. Everybody thinks they know everything, but I just want to make sure you know these things. Right?
Ooh, okay. So these are 10 things we should know about. Wow, okay.
Yes. So number one in my mind is that
let's start with number 10, right? Or are you saying the most important thing? But yeah, let's count it down. We're going to count it down for you guys out there.
All right. Martin Luther King is one of only two Americans, right, that has a holiday named after them. And the only other person, well, whose birthday?
Hold on, let me see if I can guess. You said Dr. King is one of only two individuals, I would imagine, who actually has whose birthday is a holiday. I'm going to have to say it is, I want to say George Washington.
Ding, 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 ding.
Is that right?
Wow. George Washington and Martin Luther King. That's it.
That's a lot.
Whose birthdays are national holidays. Yes, and it wasn't easy. Well overdue. You've heard the birthday song, right?
Right. Happy birthday song. The old happy birthday song, happy birthday to you.
No.
Are you talking about the Stevie Wonder
song.
Version? That's the Stevie version. Okay.
Yes. So they had tried many, many, many times to get his birthday recognized, but it didn't work. So after his passing, actually, Stevie Wonder, he had written the birthday song already, right? He wrote the birthday song, and so Stevie Wonder and Coretta Scott King, which, can we say this is a fact within a fact? If you don't know who Coretta Scott King is, please tell them, Carrie, who Coretta Scott King is.
Then you need to hand back your card if you don't know who Coretta is. Coretta was the incredibly brilliant partner, certainly to Dr. Martin Luther King. She was his wife. And her legacy is that amazing as well. She was an amazing legend all by herself. This was a great partnership for the ages.
Yes. So great musician, Stevie Wonder, and excellent, most adoring and talented and skilled wife, Coretta Scott King, went around the country on a tour singing the song over and over, you know, happy birthday to you. And dare I not sing,
yeah.
But they went, did a tour. And while they were doing this tour of the music, they were also collecting signatures, right? So in the end of that 4 months, they delivered over 6 million signatures saying that they wanted his birthday to be recognized as a national holiday. And obviously they succeeded.
That is amazing. I remember a lot of that too. During my day was just incredible, incredible. And now it's hard to think that there was a time, Mary, that it was not the holiday, that it didn't exist as a holiday. It's hard to think of that because we've grown accustomed to it so much at this point, and so very.
Yep, but
valid.
His wife and Stevie Wonder got out there and they did the work, and
they did the
and
work
delivered those. Yep, got the petition and submitted it, and that's why we
have
it.
That's how it became,
That's
right, and we remember those days. I remember that. I remember that very well. Well, I am so grateful, and I am so, so thankful to you, Mary, for sharing these little-known facts, I call them, little factoids about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and the celebration. How wonderful is that? So that's number 10. Awesome. Okay, I've given them numbers. And number 9,
okay.
Mary, on your countdown on things we should know about Dr. Martin Luther King, what else have you got for us?
How about, let's see, we're on number 9. What was
his
name at birth?
Yeah. Now, this one I know only because I just recently found out. But what I did notice is that other folks knew this, and I did not know this until a few days ago, literally. So I'm going to say his name, I believe his first name was Michael. But what I don't know is, okay, well, what exactly is the story, or when did he become Martin instead of Michael? I still don't know the story behind it. Do you happen to know that, Mary?
I have the popular story, which is not quite matching what I saw in the book, The Three Mothers, which was about the mothers of Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, and we were talking about this artisan the other day. Our writers, one of our great, great writers and artisans. I'm walking literally in my house and pulling out my book, James Baldwin, right? But that's a wonderful read if anybody gets to it. Yes.
Yes.
But
James Baldwin.
I'm
going to
give you the popular story.
Okay.
I'm just going to give you the popular story. The popular story is that he was born and given the name Michael. He's from a line, he was a third generation minister and that type of thing. But his father, the minister Michael, went to overseas, and he was talking with and impressed by the Lutheran community, and their leader was, and he, you know, long deceased, but their leader
was
Martin Luther. So he was studying all of this, and he was really impressed. So he came back, changed his name as well as his son's name to Martin. So Martin Luther King Jr.
That's how it worked. Okay.
Yeah, and Martin at that point was only 5 years old. And even through life, this is part of what's in The Three Mothers, through life they called him Michael, like his close friends and family. They called him Michael still.
Wow.
But his name was officially changed by his father.
That is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is absolutely amazing. I've always wondered that.
Yep. Well, number 8, if you're ready. This is for everybody who just doesn't believe that, you know, they're any good, if they've ever been in the pokey or if they've ever experienced trouble with the law and that type of thing. Martin Luther
Folks
King
in need of
has
a second
been
chance,
in jail.
It sounds like.
Oh, well, even more than second chances. He was arrested at least. Oh, well, one time he got arrested in Alabama for driving 30 miles an hour in a 25 mile an hour zone. Right?
Huh.
Oh, we get tickets. We shouldn't get arrested. So in those types of things even happened to Martin Luther King, but he didn't let it stop him. He pressed on.
He pressed on. Well, you just mentioned about that. They stopped. There was the big case where the lady stopped the young black man, the Caucasian policewoman, stopped the young black man because of his tail light and his rear view mirror, I believe.
Minneapolis.
And end up killing him. She thought she had picked up her taser, according to her story.
Well, if he had the wherewithal to say taser, 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 very obvious in the video, she said it three times. She had the wherewithal to know it was not a taser.
There are a whole lot of circumstances and situations with it, and I think justice was served. So I'm very happy about that, and I believe, it doesn't bring the young man back, and God, how awful it is. Just awful. So, but that reminds me of that, Mary. So, Dr. King, you're right, and he pressed on, and so must we. So, listen, let me just remind everybody, folks, if you're just joining us here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, it is my great honor to have you with us. We are paying tribute to the amazing legacy of the one and only Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. And it is, as always, it's a pleasure to have my guest co-host join us on this episode. It is the one and only. She's from Hair, Head, Heart. You guys know Mary Reed Johnson. Mary, again, thank you so much for being with us on the broadcast. We're happy.
Absolutely. And I'm not doing it fully in order, but I'm doing it kind of in... like from young years up to what we know as the icon.
Well, listen, it sounds awesome to me. So I think you are at about number 7, if I'm not mistaken. I think number 7.
Yes, yes. What do you think Martin Luther King was doing when he was about 13 years old?
Let's see, 13. I'm going to say he was leading a congregation. I could be wrong.
Not quite yet. He was raised in the church, and he was, being...
Okay, that was an easy one for him. Do I get one more guess?
Yes.
Okay, I'll say he was singing in the choir.
People, what do regular people do when they're, like, 13?
That's a tough one. At 13, you're just play. You don't even think of anything. You're not thinking of anything, are you? I don't remember thinking of anything at 13.
Well, not that much. But again, he was being groomed for some stuff. But people need to work. And Martin Luther King.
Oh, he had a job?
Actually, he had a job. He was a paper boy.
Wow. Oh, yep. It's awful to not know that because I also was a paper boy. Now, see, had you framed that Mary Reed Johnson as what was your first job or his, I would have realized. But no, I did not think of it that way. But I'll tell you, that was my first job. And I was actually probably a little younger than that. But I remember I was a paper boy also. So that is inspiring. I didn't even know we had that in common.
Yes, it's like he was a regular guy who turned into an icon with some misogyny, he delivered the Atlantic Journal at age 13. So.
Oh, that's out of I've been in that, mentioned in the Atlanta Journal. We call it AJC now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, out of Atlanta area. Is that the same newspaper?
I'm thinking so, but I would have
to
do some homework.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, well, it sounds pretty good to me. Good job, Mary.
Yes, his parents did a great job.
Awesome.
So he's doing that at 13. Guess what he did by the time he was 15?
I'm wondering what on earth, what was left? Fly to the moon. I mean, he was so incredible. I'm going to guess that at 15, I'll say he started a church.
Not quite.
I'm going to keep in it until I get that
he's
right.
Still being baking in the oven. You want one more? Okay. You pick it.
I'll say that he got married.
Oh, nope, he's a little young for that. But he was kind of getting in that realm. He actually started Morehouse when he was 15.
Get out of here.
Yep.
Dr. King was a genius.
Yep. It's so interesting because he, I think, skipped, I want to say, 12th and 7th grade, something like that. But he was in college by the time he was 15.
Wow. That is amazing. Now, that is incredible.
He skipped 9th grade and 12th grade. That's what it was. Yes.
Wow. No, he was so smart. You could just tell.
Well,
he was just an incredibly smart person.
Yeah, so look at our young people. And while we, you know, don't believe what the world says about them, you know,
right.
They can start young and do great things or be at least moving towards greatness. They can develop the skills, but we have to guide them. You know, I'm sure he didn't wake up when he was 12 and say, I think I'll go to Morehouse tomorrow. That took some massaging from his background and his parents.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we have to take that responsibility and guide our young people and not just berate them or talk about, you know, the negatives that media would have us believe about them.
Absolutely. So leadership sounds very, very important with all of this.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay, now,
well, Mary, you are killing it. Okay, folks.
I'm
loving this.
I wouldn't love them some Martin. So
yes.
We are on number six, five?
I think, yeah,
where
I think
we're
up to five now. I'm counting
all right,
five.
All right.
Wow.
All right. So, okay, he went to school, and did he just get one degree? We know he's a theologian, so we know he got some
right.
kind of master something somewhere, right? He didn't
True.
Just go to one school, by the way. Yeah. So for those of you who are in college, those of you who are in college and not making it work in one place, he went to several schools. But at the end of the primary education, he had a sociology degree.
Hmm.
He had a theology degree.
Wow.
Right? And that's through the Baptist ministers, theology training, you know, that type of stuff. And one other, but he, you know, had those two as his primary base, the sociology and theology degrees.
Wow.
So,
Dr. Martin Luther King was nothing to sneeze at.
Mm-mm.
Not
I think
at
the other
all.
One was Boston University. He got his PhD. So
unreal. Mary, what
yep.
good
so,
information. Good information.
Well,
thank you so much.
These are things people should know. People
we should know
about
Dr.
Martin.
King. Yeah.
And
some I do, but this
in,
I'm learning today.
Well, I'm going to throw in something that other people, everybody should be very, very aware of, and this is number four.
Awesome.
That, okay, yes, he has he's one of only two people with the national holiday. But a lot
yes.
of people get confused with his national holiday birthday recognition and Black History Month. Birthday
oh.
is January.
Right.
Black History Month is February. So
yes.
be very
right
clear
ahead,
on those things. Well, I mean, I just want people to be clear and not get complacent and forget these very, very, very important things.
I think I have
so
a theory on
months?
This. Yes.
That is, tell me.
I think I have a theory on this, Mary. I thought about this. You know, why folks might tend to confuse Dr. King's birthday celebration. First of all, there's his actual birthday. Then there is his celebration birthday. And then Black History Month. So those are three things.
Right.
And so his birthday, his actual birthday that we celebrate every year is January 15th. And his holiday is celebrated the third Monday in January. And then right after that, on the heels of that, comes February, which is just a coincidence. And that's Black History Month is celebrated, of course, in February. So then you have a lot of large, and I've noticed this in the past, a lot of large organizations or outfits who, you know, they will grab and they will, you know, mention about Dr. King again as part of their Black History celebration because he was so, you know, so incredibly important to the very fabric of that. So that's why, so for, it's great because it's kind of like we've extended, but because February needed to be a little longer anyway.
Absolutely.
In terms of that.
So I'm not saying don't recognize it all, but just know that they are distinctly different.
Yes.
And so we had January, we had February, and now let's go to, this is a hint for some things he's known for. So what's the next month?
March. Oh, the March on Washington.
Yes.
Am I good, Mary?
You are very good. But you know what? The March on Washington, we're going to get to. But there was another pilgrimage. No, absolutely. That he was first. Do you know? Okay, so the March on Washington was 1963, and we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
There was another march that he was part of, another group that he was part of, and it was his first national address. And that was like 7 years before that. It was
really.
It was, yes,
1957. Maybe the boycott. Was it?
It
the,
was nope. Nope.
Oh, what,
this was May 17th, 1957. Write it down. He was part of the prayer pilgrimage for freedom.
Oh,
and
I
the
don't
topic
think I knew
that,
that
he discussed, or the topic that he talked about, was voting, and his title of his speech was "Give Us the Ballot." And that was his very first national address.
Well, he could be very much making that same address today.
Absolutely.
What an incredible piece of information that I was totally unaware of. Folks, let me just bring up to speed if you're just joining us. I'm Carrie Hines. I'm on the line with the amazing Mary Reed Johnson from Hair, Head, Heart. She's our amazing guest coordinator and guest co-host this morning, and boy, this is really a very special special broadcast right here, talking about 10 things that you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King. And I have to tell you, I don't know if I would be passing too well this morning on this. I know a few of them, but I'm learning. I'm learning along the way. I had no idea about that. That is incredible. Incredible stuff, Mary.
So,
good job. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I didn't do it. He did it. And
no, but
you know,
it's good that we know these things.
Yes, I think so. Because it's great that they highlight, you know, really important nuggets of his life. But if we dig, and you don't have to dig very deep, it's there. And he's just so much more rich and, you know, normal on some levels than us. I mean, it's the things that he did were iconic and blessings to millions. But part of his life, he was a regular person just developing. And I think that if you know that, then that maybe gives you hope to do more. Or at least continue to do the right things.
Absolutely. Well, I am super hyped.
Truly. So we'll continue with March since you mentioned it. Number three, ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. And so that was the March on Washington. And it was supposed to be a peaceful march. It was a peaceful march. I don't know how many attended, but it was a big, big, big thing. And he did that famous march on the Capitol steps in Washington, 1963.
Wow. Amazing. It's hard to believe it was that long ago. That's amazing.
I know. It kind of is. I think of other icons that, you know, this year, one of my favorites, Muhammad Ali, he would be 80 this year.
Yes, which is still not, you know, it's still not really, yes, not really old, not these days. 80 is the new 70. And so there are a lot of 80-year-olds, like you, when you think of, you know, Jane Fonda, she's still thriving. And so many others out there. And look at the, you know, Betty White, who went all the way to almost 100. And Sidney Poitier and all these folks. So, yeah, you know, they're hanging in there these days. So Dr. Martin Luther King would have been, he would have been in his, I think about 90 or so. He would have been in that ballpark somewhere. But good things, Mary Reed Johnson. I'm loving your countdown. Again, it's 10 things that we should know about the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And I'm also phrasing it this way, 10 things that you probably thought you knew, but you didn't. And we're learning.
Yes. So you mentioned something about aging and health and that type of stuff. So I'm going to mention some things in these last few that people tried to take him out of here. Like, do you know who Isola Ware Curry is?
No idea what that even is or what.
Okay. So they described her, when I say they, I say media and government, described her as a mentally ill woman, all right? Mm. But she actually was in a crowd at a book signing, and she asked him, you know, make sure who he was, but she stabbed him with a 7-inch letter opener.
Oh, I think I did hear of this. Now, what was the significance of her doing this? It's just that she was mentally ill and she just, you know, because you don't need a reason if you're mentally ill sometimes.
Right. So, well, that was part of it. And another part of it, she was blaming him for her losing jobs and, you know, these types of things. But the story just doesn't jive with me. But whatever it is, she was not successful in that attempt. And I won't say she didn't serve any time in jail, but she ended up her days pretty much in a nursing home in Jamaica, Queens. She lived to be like 98. Yeah, she lived to be 98. And so, and actually, I don't know if it was 2021 that she passed, but it wasn't that long ago. But Miss Isola is gone. She tried, but that wasn't his time to go.
Not at that time.
Got him right near his aorta, and they
said he was lucky to live through that.
Yes, they said if he had so much as sneezed or coughed, he would
not
be.
That would have been it. Isn't that something?
Yep.
So you know, just sad stuff. Dr. King had, you know, his significance to the world is incredible, but he had a very difficult, as they say, folks who have so many gifts and are meant to touch the world in the way that they do usually, like the incredibly talented, have kind of a hard way to go in many cases. And, you know, and we just have to celebrate their legacy for those who've passed on and just continue the work that they started. And I think that's what we're doing here today in this remembrance of the amazing Dr. Martin Luther King. 10 things you should know. Okay, Mary, what else have you got for us? We should be down to the last two.
Yes. So along those lines of health and whatnot, and my mention earlier of The Three Mothers, a book that everybody should get, about Martin Luther King's mother, Malcolm X's mother, and James Baldwin, actually their whole family and what shaped them. But there was another person who, 6 years after Martin had passed, he went into the church. Martin's mother was playing the piano, just minding her own business, doing what she did, and this man shot her. And she did not live through that. She shot her just while she was playing the organ at church. So This person also passed away supposedly of a stroke while he was in Jackson, Georgia prison or jail, just, you know, days after I want to say church mother, his mother was, yeah. So
just really sad.
He was out of the way. I'm not even going to say his name because
No, we don't need to hear it.
We were talking about the March on Washington, too. We'll go back. Do you know, originally, that March on Washington, on the slate of speakers and participants, originally, there were no women involved or included in that march?
Really?
Mm-hmm. But that one of the organizers was a woman, and she spoke up. And long story short, there were changes. But originally, it was going to be a man thing.
Well, maybe that's where later, way later, that March on Washington, where it was turned into the Million Man March and kind of in that vein
mm-hmm.
and celebration. Wow. And that might have been the genesis of that. So incredible uncovering.
I believe so. But thank goodness that, you know, and women always take your power, use it. Don't be in a box. You know, they need us. So we need to speak up and do all the great things that we do as well.
Well, absolutely. Yes. Well, women, great stuff. And I have to say, I'm just blown away with all of this. And before you get to the final item on your amazing list of 10 things you should know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., I just want to say, Mary Reed Johnson, you bring us these wonderful updates. You bring us the countdowns. You are always instrumental whenever there's special programming happening at the Hair Radio Morning Show, the HairRadio.com network, our streaming network, whatever we're doing, you bring these great tidbits of information I call factoids, and we are so honored. So before we get to number one, I want to take a moment, Mary. You have got to tell everybody, because this is a big question. Whenever you're on the air and I mention Hair, Head, Heart, folks say, what is Hair, Head, Heart? Can you tell us real quickly what Hair, Head, Heart is all about? And then we're on to number one on your countdown.
All right. Thank you, Carrie. Well, generically, I will say Hair, Head, Heart is a consulting agency. We deal with issues that relate to those things, hair, head, and heart. I'm a service provider. I'm licensed as an instructor and cosmetologist in Michigan and Minnesota. I absolutely help people online or in person develop their business, develop standards, all these types of things. And then the heart is the passion related to these, as well as actual safety bins that I have related to these things. So I do things that improve those things related to hair, head, and heart.
And you bring a lot of that right to the Hair Radio Morning Show with your great guest co-hosting. So thank you, Mary. Thank you so much, Mary Reed Johnson, Hair, Head, Heart. Okay, now what you've been waiting for, number one.
Do I get a drum roll here?
You get a drum roll. Yes, you do. There you go. I think we have one somewhere. But yes, you get a drum roll. And we're excited to know. I can't even imagine what is the number one item that I don't know about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. But we're going to see. Go right ahead, Mary.
You might know this, but I tell you that everyone who has seen anything about Bloody Sunday from 1965, where they started off a peaceful march, and it was crossing the Edmund Pettus Bridge, and it turned...
Yes.
It gained national attention because it was so unnecessarily brutal and ridiculous that we got some things changed. And we have to thank Dr. King, Mr. Lewis, Senator Lewis, and this whole host
John
of
Lewis,
people
right.
who walked across the Edmund Pettus Bridge Yes. And do you know that that walk was only, it should have been a 10-minute walk. I've actually walked across the Edmonton Bridge, and people still can. Can walk across it in like 10 minutes, but it turned into a whole national change.
It was a big thing.
Item. And so we cannot think about that walk without thinking and thanking Dr. Martin Luther King. So these are some things I think you should know.
Absolutely. And Mary, before we sign off on Dr. Martin Luther King's remembrance on this broadcast, I have to ask you, what does Dr. King's legacy mean to you? And then I'll share mine.
Well, everything. It's like you just start where you are and keep growing and keep doing and keep moving. Don't stop. So he is a full inspiration for me.
Awesome. And for me, I have to say, everything that I do is based on the framework that of Dr. King's legacy. It is just something that we must always remember. It's not just something that we pull out of a drawer once a year and then tuck it back away, after, the days have gone on. We must continue to keep his legacy relevant. And that has to come from all of us and each of us. And just by taking a moment to air this on today's broadcast means that we're doing just that at the Hair Radio Morning Show and hairradio.com and our platforms.
Yes,
so
he's
I'm
not
Carrie
just
Hines.
An icon.
Yes.
He's a lifestyle.
Okay, well, I'm loving that, Mary. Again, I'm Carrie Hines with the one and only Mary Reed Johnson here at heart with us today, and we'll see you back here next time. Great job, Mary. Thank you.
I have a product called Organic Love Collection Shea Butter. It's a sensual shea butter. And once you apply it, it reinvigorates the skin. It takes care of blemishes, hyperpigmentation. It has all kinds of beautiful oils in it. And what it does for the hair, the nails, and the skin is to renew it and to make you feel beautiful and moreover to restore you to self-love and self-care. We're a Christian organization, and we're in the community trying to educate people on eczema, psoriasis, breaking hair, alopecia, things of that nature. And this product is a cure-all for the whole family. If you grab the jar or the bottle, it comes in a liquid and solid. It deals with eczema within 3 days. The longest it'll take is 7 days to restore your skin. And most of all, it's great for the scalp and very uplifting to the hair. It keeps the hair moist and free of breakage and moreover manageable. So as you work with it, if you have natural hair, it won't break. And if you have permed or color processed hair, it'll continue to allow for it to have the elasticity it needs, so that your mane grows beautiful and healthy. Currently, we are on social media. We're a business that's just starting out, so I started on Instagram, once again, Instagram.
Awesome.
And the name of the company is Organic Love Collection. And we can also be found through Instagram on Big Cartel. So the product could be purchased at organiclovecollection.bigcartel.com.
Repeat that one more time.
OrganicLoveCollection.BigCartel.com.
Hi, my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old, and I've been modeling for 7 years now, 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nyakim Garowich. I am 25 years old, and I've been modeling for 2 years. Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaz. I'm 21 years old and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin? Like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin? And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, or purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing. My heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah. I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance was just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup.
Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curly it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel. Because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow-dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put like a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign and backstage they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist and this guy didn't know how to do braids and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leomi, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair, because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this it's the same, but this has more red in it and this is just gray. So it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen, most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to, like, put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the type of, all the stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation. Your skin is so flawless. Like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin, so we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there, and they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris, or like Spain, that they're just like, oh my God, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, no, right?
why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe, but me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch, lies, because everyone knows that your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them, so it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, do you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives, and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us, and I think we all just have to stick together and work together, because it's the only way we can make it further.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines.
All right, we're back live. It is mid-show Wednesday morning, May 11th of 2022. I'm Carrie Hines. It's our show number 711. 711, wow. Okay, as we march towards our 1,000th broadcast, it's been an exciting morning. I want to bring to the live so we can get things underway. We're tight on time this morning. The one and only, my brand new announcing man right here on the show. You guys have gotten to know him in recent times. His name is spelled the same forward and backwards. It's the one and only Otto Otto. Good morning.
Good morning, Carrie Hines. How are you this Wednesday?
All right. Doing well. Welcome to the second half of our show. I'm doing great. Folks have been listening this morning. We got a lot to get into. We have a ton to unpack. And I'm doing great. But you're doing okay, though. Happy Wednesday.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Happy Wednesday.
Awesome. Okay, well, first, before we don't make a move in the morning without my illustrious new co-star, so I'll let you do the introduction. Otto,
okay,
take it away.
Okay, thank you, Carrie. Oh, coming to the line is the wonderful new co-host of the Hair Radio Morning Show with Carrie Hines. Let's give a warm welcome for Nicole Marie.
Thank you, Otto.
Good morning,
Nicole
Carrie and Otto.
Marie.
Good
yes.
morning, Nicole
How are
Marie.
You?
Good. How's Water Valley,
good,
Mississippi?
Good. It is great. It is great.
Yes, Otto's just going right on it. How's Water Valley, Mississippi? You know, it's always the North versus the South. Now, Otto, you are down. Yes, Otto's down in the southern part of New Jersey, a place called
yes.
Hamilton, New Jersey. So not all that far from Trenton and Philly for the folks who are in the Northeast. And I... Carrie Hines, I'm up here in Brooklyn, New York, one of the five boroughs. And I said, you know what, perhaps in the upcoming weeks, we'll do something that I've always wanted to do on the Hair Radio Morning Show. So do you guys want to know what that is?
Please.
Sure.
Yes.
Okay.
Tell the fans.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I wanted to do was to do a listening tour. And what that listening tour is all about is, you know, just taking a moment to tell folks, tell our fans, the people who are listening around the world, who who've never had an opportunity to come visit our city. Each of us live in a different state, and I thought it would be nice to give folks not a long, dissertation, but quite, an introduction about some things that happened, or a quick brief history on our cities, the cities that we live in. Yeah, so yeah. Just a quick little, 30 seconds, 45 seconds on each city, because I think that people would like to know, especially when it comes to New York City. Folks tell me all the time privately, Carrie, I get so confused. Is New York City, I don't understand anything about the boroughs. Is it a city? Is it a borough? What's going on? You got a city with the same name twice. I don't understand it. And folks are embarrassed to say. I remember I just did a photo shoot. Oh, I'm going to be a little careful because the folks are listening. But I remember a gentleman came up and he was like, just in Harlem. We were in Manhattan. We were in Harlem. And I'm like, he didn't realize that we were already in Manhattan, that's a part. Harlem is in Manhattan, where the Apollo Theater is.
Oh,
so
wow.
Those are things that, yeah, so people don't know these things. And, it's very interesting. Well, here in New York City, the way that we ourselves talk about New York, the New Yorkers talk about it, back in the old days, they would say uptown. And uptown meant to the black folks that it was 125th, which is where the theater is. Apollo Theater. So that's like a lot of African-Americans over there in that part uptown. But to the folks in midtown Manhattan, that only meant to 72nd Street or where, the delineation where you saw folks who were Caucasian mostly over there. So it's – and then the taxis. The taxis had a map on the back of their window. You know how you ride in the back of a taxi in the old days? Not Uber. The taxis.
Right.
Yeah.
So they used to have yellow taxis back then. And what it was that they had a map that literally cut off about 96th Street. So the people were above 96, which were all the black folks mostly, you didn't even see it on a map. You didn't even see it on a map.
Wow.
Okay. So they only considered, uptown or which was, to the top of 96 or something. Meanwhile, it goes all the way up. That's welcome to New York City and America pretty much.
Right.
Now, that's all changed in recent years. But that's when I was, coming first to the city about over 20 years ago. That's the kind of way it was, and that was the thinking. And the mindset, it hasn't been all that long ago, folks. So lots of things like that. We just deal as well as we can. We love everybody. We want respect.
Yes, we do.
For everybody. And it doesn't matter who you are. And so that kind of brings me to some of the things we talked about on today's broadcast. I had to dig into the vaults because I just felt a little bit of Mary Reed Johnson. We miss her from time to time on the show, and she did a great piece on 10 Things You Should Know About Dr. King, talking about equality. So, and before that, we ran a short piece from a TV personality, magazine lady, all of the above. She's an entrepreneur. Her name is Brandy J. And so Brandy J was out there as well. So this morning, I don't know what you guys heard. I've been listening along with all the fans of the show. Nicole Marie, let's lead in with our new famed co-host out of Water Valley, Mississippi, the one and only Nicole Marie. What would you like to say today, Nicole? Did you get a chance to hear anything?
Yes, I was listening to the interview by Brandy J, and I love her. I love her honesty and her candidness. She was so truthful in what she speaks about. You can tell her passion for what she's doing, and just, she was just so very honest about growing up, her family, her life.
Yes.
How she has evolved and changed, the different obstacles that she's overcome. And I love the interview. I just love, like I said, I love her candidness.
Wonderful. Was there any part of her life that kind of, you know, does she have anything in common? You guys are from two totally different worlds, Nicole Marie.
Right.
But was there any part of her story that you said, wow, I didn't go through exactly that, but I can relate?
Well, definitely, yes. I believe when she talks about being younger and growing up and how, you know, she was teased by her sister and cousins and so forth just because she looked like her grandmother. And I think all of us.
And her grandmother loved her. She, in a very special way, you could tell the way she described it.
Yes. I think all of us at one point or another go through some of that just growing up, just, you know, coming through puberty and just coming into our own, especially as a young girl growing into a young woman, as an adult. I think there are so many issues that we go through, especially society has this picture of how we should be, how we should look. And we are us. God created us the way we are.
Exactly.
And society, I think, you know, kind of says, oh, no, you're supposed to be this. The media, you're supposed to look like this. You're supposed to look like that. You're supposed to do this and do that. And, no, we are us. We are, you know, the kings and queens that God made us to be. And so I think all of us go through this at one point or another.
Yes, yes. I kind of agree with you on that. The teasing part, what she said about being teased, like you said, we kind of all were teased at some point, you know, especially, you know, whether it's our family members. And believe it or not, that kind of thing can stick with you far beyond what you know. I think Janet Jackson herself talked about being teased. I think Michael called her a few names, and she's the youngest.
Right.
So not the youngest. I think her brother is younger than she is, but I think she's the youngest girl. And I think she was teased quite a bit. I've been teased, many, many times. And when I was in school, I'm still teased about my voice. So these are things that, you know, that you live with, or you learn how to put it in the right box. I call it compartmentalizing.
Right.
I really throw those things into the right box. For me is the garbage. I try not to take that stuff and internalize it all that much. But
and just like Brandy touched on, she talked about having an eating disorder because of her size.
Ooh.
And she's like, oh, well, you know, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
So
that
affected her.
Yes. She had quite a bit to chew on this morning.
Yes, she did.
Yeah, she really did, literally. Otto, what about you? Was there any part of your life that you were teased early on in your life, or had any part that challenged that you had to overcome?
Sure, with a name like Otto, you know.
Oh, yeah, this is true. Otto the motto, yes, Otto, yeah, that's true. And you get teased every morning right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show, frontwards and backwards.
I felt you know, for her, wow. I mean, like I said, in the schoolyard, you know, you're getting bullied, you go home to try to have some peace, and it was there more, I believe, you know, for her, probably as much as school, you know, getting at home, the different things, like Nicole had said, the challenges and obstacles of the eating, the size. I believe she referenced her skin tone as like her grandmother. So, I mean, it's what God gave her, and just people just really. But she took that power, that nastiness of her own upbringing, and turned it into who the woman she is. It's an entrepreneur, successful, you know, she does a lot of things positive, and that she's trying to change it for women, for domestic, you know, have a safe harbor for the women that are, you know,
exactly.
So I think she turned all that into good. And although she paid the price, she's helping others. You know, that
I agree. The one thing about that, though, and I'm glad you guys have gotten there, is in Brandy J's story where she had to take care of, like, her children's father or something, or ex-husband or something or another,
right,
who had abused her.
Mm.
And I was just blown away. I said to myself, the question today for you guys and for our wonderful on-air panelists, and I think we're being joined by one of the Michael's Angels. Yes, Noor. Thank you, Noor Jahan. Yeah, so we'll be joined in just a moment. But my question today is, could you guys do what she did? Could you do what Brandy J did? She literally took care of an ex who she, who had abused her, and even the husband, the ex-husband's ex-girlfriends or wives or whatever. Like, how could you, they were telling her, what are you thinking? So how could you do that? So this is my question for you guys this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show, Coffee, Tea, and Conversations, which we need to put that on out there. So I'm going to ask you guys this question. Otto, let's lead in with you this time. And I'm going to bring Noor Jahan, one of the angels, Michael's Angels, from the Vet Talk radio show on. Good morning, Noor. You're joining a conversation on Coffee, Tea, and Conversations this morning. You have Nicole, you have Otto, and me, Kerry Hines. Noor Jahan, good morning, out of Tennessee.
Good morning. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, can you hear me, folks? Yes, we can hear you. You are on the air. Yes. So, Noor, we're going to get, I want your response, but I ask Nicole first. So, Nicole, I think I asked Nicole. So, what do you guys think? Could you take care of somebody? Or did I ask Otto? I forget. I think I asked Otto first. So you guys just
yes,
jump
Otto.
On in. Could you take care of someone like that, did you wrong?
Well, I have to say, from having an ex-wife and all, it would be difficult. But I'll tell you, it was a great example for her child.
To put it mildly, Otto.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
The effect, I think, for the children, like, to see, wow, no matter what their problems were, mom still was there for my dad. You know what I mean? They separate that at that point. So I think it was a great example to show her children, no matter what, it was your father, and I'll see him to, his resting place. So I thought that was actually, I think she's going straight to heaven for that one. That's her ticket in.
Yeah.
And all the other things, but that's a difficult challenge to be, done wrong, let's say, and then still be able to be there at the end. And, that I think the children probably were so, taken back by it and rewarded. That's
okay.
How I feel.
Well, yeah. Okay. All right. Well, let me ask Noor Jahan, how do you weigh in? And then Nicole will swing around to you. How do you feel?
Okay.
Would you be able to do something like that, Noor?
Well, being a person who is abused myself, by my son's father, that is a difficult thing to really think about. But, when you have forgiveness for a person and you've moved on, then, you want to do what's right. And if it is for the children, the reason why she did that, then I can understand her position, so... It's kind of hard for me to really say what I would have done, but like I said, once you have forgiveness, then all the other stuff kind of goes out the window.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
yes.
How marvelous is that?
That was nice,
thank
sir.
You for that. Yeah, that honesty. But I do love what you said, because she said, I think she said it was for her daughter who she knew couldn't handle it. So it was like the lesser of two evils, I think.
Right.
Oh, boy. And so, of course, she's going to do everything she can to help her child. And that was a part of it. And I think that's a good thing. But before I weigh in, Nicole Marie, what are your thoughts? and Michael Hopkins. We got to get him on the line. Waiting for Michael to join us. He's usually right there. So, Nicole Marie, what do you say? Yes.
I would say that I believe that I could. Myr and both Otto spoke about forgiveness. And forgiveness is not for that person. You can forgive that person, but the forgiveness is for you so that you can move forward despite what happened, despite what happened in that relationship and so forth. And I believe that I could. I believe that I would step up and step
you
forward.
You think you could take care of somebody like that?
I do. And especially if it was, well, it's my husband. I don't have an ex-husband, but if it was a situation where it was
right.
ex-husband and so forth, I would step up for my children. I would not put that burden on them. I would step up and do it.
Wow.
Right.
Well, I have to weigh in on here. I actually had a very good friend of mine who, I shouldn't say it's a very good friend, but one of my dearest best friends in the whole wide world. Her best friend is a lady who I know fairly well, and she was actually in the same situation. She moved her ex-husband into her home. This is long after they had been separated and divorced or whatever over decades. But when her ex-husband took ill, she moved him into her home. Now, mind you, she is a nurse. That was been her career. So that may have a different level of something or another playing into it.
Yeah.
But she moved him into her house, and she took care of him. There were no small children, so she wasn't under any, you know, there was no that we could make sense of that she would have done that other than, you know, I also have to say, I think it does take something, you know, because usually you break up or you're separating or divorcing because of some kind of wrong, and then to add a level of, you know, abuse to it. And then, you know, because for me, I think if I had to take care of you at my house after you've mistreated me, I don't know if you guys have seen the movie Misery. But you'd be the James Caan person up in the bed. Okay. I'm sorry. I'm Kathy Bates. It won't be a good day for you. I'm sorry. That's the way I weigh it. No, I'm just kidding. Of course. Yeah, I love after you guys have talked all about forgiveness and how wonderful. You guys are just amazing. I'm like, wow. You know, but I tell you, I think it's marvelous. I really do. Just what can I say? All right, listen, I've got some announcements to get into. And, of course, we're going to have the wonderful Sam Ennen from the West Coast joining us in just a bit between 8 and 9. He's our special guest. We got to wake him up. He's all the way out, 3,000 miles away, and it's real early. You guys in the Central Time Zone, Nicole, Maria, Nur Jahan, you guys are Central Time Zone. Otto and I are here on the East Coast, and so it's a challenge just for that hour. That hour actually does make a difference, I got to say. I do believe that. I've traveled a lot, and believe me. 1 hour makes a difference, especially when it's time to get up in the morning.
Right.
So can you imagine? I love our California fans because we've had many folks on this show from the West Coast, and they got to get up like literally about 3 or 4 in the morning to do our show. And so, and sound pretty good.
Definitely
at it.
Appreciate
you
them.
Know?
Mm-hmm.
That's hard.
I don't even see 3 or 4 in the morning.
Exactly. So this is just crazy. You know, so what Sam Ennen is going to get into a bit this morning. Listen, guys, I know for the hair industry people, there's something, and I even ran my piece early this morning about when I created Carapy for folks who remember the early part of the Radio Morning Show today. I talked about Carapy, which is my product line. So I wanted to kind of inspire folks who may be looking to do something different, to launch a business, but they don't know what they can do. And I have a great, great idea for those out there who are looking to start businesses. And Salmon and himself is looking for what are called distributors. And a lot of people hear that word and we don't quite know what it means, okay, because it means so much to different things.
Right.
Right? But in the hair world or the hair and beauty world, it usually means that the manufacturers create products and those products get around to the different salons so that the salons can either or not even just the salons, but it can be so the product can be resold in bulk or, you know, to in large amounts pretty much. And so you need someone to go around and secure or procure those happenings. So that's kind of what a distributor does. You don't really have to be a person who is a stylist or whatever. You just may be looking to create, you know, cultivate or get the brands that you love out to the masses. And you do that by, you know, most times the distributors will buy the product line in bulk themselves and then resell it to whomever, to the shops, and let the shops even resell it. So there are a lot of levels potentially. In my case with Carapi, the Carapi products, which I love my Carapi hair products, my shampoo and conditioner mainly that we put out, and even my Carapi beard oil for men, the shampoo and conditioner for men and women, as I mentioned. But what I love about this is that they get a chance, like we would, I have my distributors in different positions around the country. And then if that's not enough, what I normally do also is have it where they can purchase a big amount. But see, I also sell direct. And direct means that I sell directly to the client, the customer, the end user, the person who's going to be using my shampoo and conditioner. But some of the companies do not do that. So they don't usually, you know, it just depends. There are different guidelines and stuff. There's something called salon direct products, meaning that the hair products are sold directly straight to the business and you, I'm sorry, to the salon, and you cannot get the hair products unless you go to the salon. They don't sell it at the salon and down at Woolworths.
Right.
They've gone out of business, I think.
Nah,
or Kmart or whatever. So they don't sell it there. So you've got to, that's the salon direct. So my product, Carapi, was sold to the hair salons, salon direct.
Nice.
So if you only way that you could get Carapi was to go to your hair salon, or you could order directly from us at the manufacturer, of course, considered the manufacturer. So does that make sense? And so start a business where you can distribute products. You don't have to create them. You can just distribute them. And so that's what I love about Hair Radio, because we're able to help folks get that kind of business underway. And it doesn't take as much as you think to get started. So if you're looking for a little entrepreneurial effort and something a tad bit on the different side, I think that this is a good way to go. What are you guys? Was this too heavy for you guys first thing in mid-show on the Hair Radio Morning Show Coffee Tea Conversations? Nicole Marie, what do you hear when you hear something like that?
I think this is great. I think it's a great opportunity for someone to branch out and try something new and be their own entrepreneur. You know, they're responsible for what they're doing. I think it's a great opportunity.
Exactly, and I think so too. Noor, just because you come to us out of Clarksville, Tennessee, and what do you think about, I've never asked you, but what do you think about entrepreneurs and all of that? You all, and Noor is one of the Michael's angels, and Nicole Marie as well, and we're shouting out the third angel, that's Katrina, who joins us from time to time. So what do you say when you think of something like this? in terms of entrepreneurial efforts, Noor?
Yes, it's definitely good information because I am an entrepreneur myself. So we were actually discussing this in our organization about how to have a business plan. Most people want to start a business, but they don't really know how. So I think this is a good start on some of the information that we could pass on to those who are looking to do exactly what you're talking about.
Wow. Yeah, the business plan is tough. A lot of people get very fearful of business plans because they have to be done in such a certain way, and they're so chock full of details. And they talk about all your money, and, you know, and a lot of us are kind of hesitant to kind of bring on and have that discussion of finance in there. You know, so the business, that can scare people. And starting a business can kind of scare folks anyway. So we're just waiting for Sam Inan to kind of click on in. And if you guys are ready to speak, always press 1 so we know you're standing by and got your coffee, tea ready for your conversation. How's that? Is that not a good little thing there? Little doobie-dab line.
Okay.
So I love it.
You know what? You know what?
What's that?
When I heard your commercial for your therapy product, it made me want to try it. So I really do want to try it.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah, it's what I love about Carapy, and today we're talking about products and distribution and all that in preparation for Sam Inan to join us in just a moment or so, a couple minutes he'll be with us live all the way from California. Thanks, Noor. What the Carapy products, and I always tell people, yes, it's my name. It's that's how it come to be. It's come to be really based on my name and the word therapy. But what's special about my products is that it's about hair growth. So it's a hair growth system. So it's about scalp stimulation. The whole secret is that there is no secret when it comes to growing hair. Stimulating your scalp really is the true secret if you're having issues with thinning hair and things like that. And we'll talk a little bit more. As you guys know, I always have one of my expert friends who break it all down as well. And I'm loving it. So, Carapy, we'll talk, but it is definitely, it's been incredibly well-received, and I'm real honored. And we're going to be bringing out a whole bunch of additional lines. But, yes, the number one question I've gotten in recent times, only since I created the beard oil, is it for men and women? Yes, absolutely. And it smells amazing. Yes, it really does. It's incredible.
Can't wait to
try
it.
So I thank you guys. Yeah, well,
yeah,
that's a good thing.
I'm going to have to show you a picture. I had to get my haircut.
Oh, well, absolutely. Uh-oh. Okay, well, we're going to talk. We're going to have to talk about that one, okay, right here on the show. So, listen. Yes, so I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a little bit of a commercial break this morning? We're going to take a little bit of a commercial break, and I think we'll get on Miss Maggie Anderson, which is only about 2 minutes, and then Sam will be with us right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. He's our guest co-host for the hour, so I'm looking forward to chatting with him. I really am. So I think this is going to be great. So, folks, stay with us. We've got a lot to get into. What do they say? A lot to unpack this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
It's
right.
Two thumbs up. The Hair Radio Morning Show goes to the movies. It's our brand new Movie Talk radio segment. Listen live. Tune in right here on our broadcast for our unique review of the latest movie. Join us live on the air to chat. It's Movie Talk on the Hair Radio Morning Show. The Let Your Spirit Soar segment on the Hair Radio Morning Show is about getting your day and ours started with positive thoughts, well wishes, great quotes, and amazing affirmations. So if you have one you'd like to share, please send it through our Salon TV Network app, and we'll get it featured on the air.
I'm Carrie Hines. You're invited to be part of our new limited radio broadcast series,
talking about Cosby. It's our chance to collectively delve into the life and career and legacy of Bill Cosby, right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Now, we've got great on-air commentators who will be lending their voices to this complex man's story, and we want to hear from you. Our mid-show hour from 7 to 8 a.m. Eastern, 6 to 7 Central, it's your chance to call in and speak live on the air. Go to our Facebook page, The Hair Radio Morning Show, for complete details.
Are you a stylist, barber, nail tech, or involved in personal care on any level? Are you good at what you do? I bet you are. And as being as good as you are, that leaves you less time to handle your clients. I mean, as far as booking appointments, product sales, pricing, and all that. Well, I have something that'll help you on that end and still allow you to be great. ChairWatch. It's a new mobile booking platform that allows your client direct access to you. It'll allow them to book, change, cancel appointments, place themselves on standby, buy products, and even be able to send you direct messages. And that is just a taste of all the services that ChairWatch provides. Sounds good? Then check it out at chairwatch.com, or you can download the app via the Apple Store or Google Play. ChairWatch, a new and better way to connect with your clients.
I'm Maggie Anderson. I am the creator of the Empowerment Experiment and the author of Our Black Year, my family's year-long stand, completely living off of Black-owned businesses. When we decided to take on this public pledge, we had no idea how hard it would be. There was only one Black-owned grocery store in all of Illinois, and that grocery store closed 5 months before we finished our year. And I have two little girls. That means no fresh milk, no fresh meats, no fresh produce. But I put them through that because we took the stand and we wanted really to do something extreme out of love for our community, to expose how few Black businesses there still are, to refute negative stereotypes about Black-owned businesses, and to expose economic injustice that still persists in America. After the year, I decided that I could not go back to corporate. I could not go back to law. I've made this issue of economic racism and really trying to create economic empowerment in our Black community, my life. The Black hair care firms, they sustained the civil rights movement. Black women created these companies, huge, thriving companies, and we needed that. We talk about Black Wall Street now because we shine a light on what happened in Tulsa. Most Black neighborhoods were anchored by these Black Wall Streets. And if we could bring that back, America would be better. I'm not saying bring all of it back. That would probably be impossible. But we can bring Black hair care back. There are great Black hair care companies that exist, Black-owned hair care companies that exist right now. And it would be wonderful for, in America, just like other groups own their culturally relevant products and industries, that the Black community can own the biggest Black hair care brands, that the Black community can own Black beauty supply stores. 3% of the beauty supply stores in Black neighborhoods, and Black people know what I'm talking about. If you go into a Black neighborhood, you're going to see a beauty supply store, and they're going to sell all the Black hair care products that only Black people use, and they are not owned by Black people. So I've issued the Black-owned Hair Care Challenge, just asking everyday folks to say, hi, my name is Maggie Anderson, and I accept the Black-owned Hair Care Challenge. And tell the world that from now on, if I'm going to buy Black hair care products, I'm going to make sure it's from a Black-owned company.
Did you know that the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines is the longest-running radio broadcast on hair and beauty talk in the world? It's a broadcasting hair industry institution.
Be a live guest on air and join our long list of amazing celebrities and hair and beauty industry luminaries who've all been on our show. Give our office team a call at 833-402-8882. Again, that's 833-402-8882. Or visit us online at hairradio.com. Because you haven't made it until you've made it to Hair Radio.
Hair Radio. All right. I'm Carrie Hines. It's Mid Show Wednesday, May 11th. Actually, we're rolling into the third hour about now. My very special guest that I'm bringing to the line in just a moment is Sam Ennen from out in California. We'll talk to him. Have so much to get into with him. But first, I got to bring to the line my co-host. She's brand new. You guys have been getting to know her. She's out of Water Valley, Mississippi. I want to say it clearly now. I'm here in New York. I'm Carrie Hines again. Nicole Marie, welcome to the third
Hello,
hour
Carrie.
This morning on the Hair Radio Morning
Thank
Show.
You.
Good morning. How are
Good
you?
Good morning. I'm great.
All right.
And yourself?
I'm doing great. Yeah. The show's been awesome this morning. It really has.
It's really weird yes,
because all week it's been the same show number, almost like the month and date. Today is 5/11,
right.
And our show number is 7/11. And yesterday was
right.
7/16 and 5/16. So it's just a little coincidence. Anyway, it's great to have you with us. Let me just bring to
Thank
the
you.
Line this gentleman has been waiting in our wings. We say in our Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room, which is our virtual green room for folks out there who are joining us here on the line. And this morning is no exception. We're welcoming him back to the broadcast after a long time. And Sam knows us well. He's been here. He runs the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association out on the West Coast. And I'm sure the weather's still a little milder than it is here in New York. But Sam, and good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Yes. Yes. What a good morning.
So, so you've had to get up early out there. You're in the northern part of California, right, Sam? Isn't it considered the northern
part?
You're not in the L.A. area.
Well, New Yorkers call us the Bay.
The Bay. That's near San Francisco. I think of Otis Redding when I think of the Bay.
Yeah. The dock of the
For
Bay.
For the older
yeah,
folks,
right.
Sam, they don't know who,
right.
The younger folks don't know who Otis Redding was, but Otis Redding was a great singer out there, yeah, who wrote Aretha's hit called, The Respect Song, if I'm not mistaken, or at least he recorded it. So anyway, Sam, listen, we've got a lot to talk with you about this morning. It's early. I want to first, I always lead in with you on this, and that's first talking about BOBSA. What exactly is BOBSA.org? Because there are folks who are joining us today for the very first time, even though you've been here a million times, Sam, and I've always asked you, what is BOBSA? Well, today's no exception. What can you tell us for the folks who are joining us today, what BOBSA.org is all about?
Well, BOBSA.org was started actually in 2004, and so we've been around for a long time. And
uh-huh.
we started with a group of Black-owned beauty supply stores, you know, that were being pushed out of the market. Well, they never even got a chance to get into the market. But we're trying to put a more larger footprint in our in Northern California. We started here in Northern California. So we just got together. And I was not a beauty supply store owner. I was a manufacturer. I made hair products. And I used to work for all the major companies before that. I used to work for Clairol. I've worked for I was a broker for Worlds of Curls, Leisure Curl, Dark and Lovely, and so you name them, and a lot of fragrance company out of Paris, believe it or not, I used to call on department stores. I also worked for, you know, various cosmetic lines. So I couldn't sell my products into the stores. You know, there was only a few Black-owned beauty supply stores, so I tried to sell into the Koreans, but the only way you can get into Korean beauty supply, I can use that word right. The only way you can get into Korean stores is through their distributors. And so it was very, very, very difficult and frustrated. So I started selling. I went to Brazil to try and sell my products. I said, these people look like me. Maybe they'll buy my products. But I said, that didn't make any sense. So I, you know, I came back and said, look, what we need to do is get together and organize and create some beauty supply stores that are owned by blacks, you know. And then the problem is that we didn't have distributors, you know. So that was another problem that we had. So that's how BOPS, you know, came about. And then we just flew all over the country trying to organize. And so it was great. I mean, we got everybody excited. But, you know, the thing about when you have started something and it's your passion. So you have to – everybody just dropped off. So we continue, three or four of us just continue doing it. And so this is where we are right now. And so we also started opening up chapters. We had a chapter in Ohio. Now, it's really funny because now we are getting requests for more chapters. So what we're going to do the first of next year, we're going to make a big push to open up chapters all over the United States. We're going to be – right now we're not a true nonprofit, you know, because we have to be for profit because we had to fund the mission, which is trying to open up more stores. So we had to come up with ideas like making our own product, doing this, doing that. And our membership used to be only $150 a year for us to help a person open up a store. We can help an individual open up a store from start to finish, all of the products and everything. So that's what we've done over the last 18, 19 years. We opened up 1,000 black-owned beauty supply stores over that time, you know, and each one of them, you know, I would say probably 0.1% is still open, you know. So now our goal is to try and open up distributors to service those stores. Because we open up the stores, we still don't have distributors to serve those stores other than the Korean beauty distributors. So that's our mission right now, more distributors across the country. And that's going to be because everybody that comes to us, they want to open up a beauty supply store. Well, why not open up a distributorship? I mean, we can start small and grow it because there's a lot of small black companies that don't have presence in the beauty supply stores because it's hard to get into Korean distributors. So that's a lot more to it than just that, you know. We're here to stay, as you can see.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
And our mission is connecting the black dots.
Connecting the black dots. All right. Well, I have to ask you about that. Can you just, for the folks who have no idea, because even when I explain distributorship, you know, people think of it in so many different ways. How can we clearly tell folks exactly what distribution means in the hair business? You did a great job of touching on it, but what else can we tell somebody? Can anybody be a distributor?
Yeah, just about anybody can be a distributor. But see, there's three categories. There's the manufacturer, and usually when people say I make a product, usually they got a private label making their product. There's the manufacturer, which would be, you know, if you're making a product, you become the manufacturer. And then there's a distributor, and then there's the wholesale. Now, you say the wholesale. A lot of people say wholesale, but that's really the beauty supply store. And then in between that, there's direct to the salons, you know, or barbershops, okay? So, and then what you do, the manufacturer establishes a retail price, suggested retail price. You cannot tell once you sell a product, you can't tell them what to sell it for. You just can't do that. So they can sell it for anything. So you take your cost of your product, you mark it up. Usually when you sell products to a distributor, they buy volume, so you make a lesser profit margin. Now, you make anywhere from, you set market up 25% to sell to the distributors because the distributor is going to buy volume. And usually they have to buy, to make the minimum freight, they have to buy at least anywhere from $15,000 to $2,000. Okay? Yeah. And some, if your product, you have more items, it's going to be more. You know, and the distributors have to buy full cases. They cannot buy six and sevens. Now, The next tier is the wholesale, which is the beauty supply store. Distributor sells to the beauty supply store. They make 35% when they sell it to a beauty supply store. And then the beauty supply store sells, they make full retail. We usually, they double their price, so they make 45%. So you know how that pricing structure is built on. And so we have decided, because we took one item, which we created this brand. There again, we have to create things to support our mission. We created a brand called You Go Girl. Now, You Go Girl is a product because it's hot. It's braiding hair. We have 180 different types of braiding hair. Now, we took that because that's the hot thing going now. The profit margins is not as great, but what we're doing is setting up distributors to have to buy a minimum of $10,000. And that's at their cost. And then they become a distributor. Now they got these products, the braiding, all the different types of braiding here. They become a distributor and get an area in the United States. And they're, all of the orders that we write for the new stores that we open up, we write orders through them, and they become the distributor for those stores. Now, the supply line is terrible because all of this stuff has to come from China. And when you open up a beauty supply store, 60% of the budget for opening up a store is hair. And we just got to face that. That's reality. That's the braiding hair. That's the bundle hair.
Literally and hair.
It's hair. It's hair. You know, that's what drives a beauty supply store is the hair. You know, the straight hair, the curly hair, the Milky Way, the Bobby Boss, all those brands. That makes up that 65%. So we're trying to get in there because that's a hot item. We're trying to get distributors to start there. Now, once a distributor starts, they can bring other items in, you know, that individual black folks are making products. Now they got a distributor. They can sell a product to that distributor. Distributor can sell it to the new black beauty supply stores or the existing black beauty supply stores. And there's a lot more to it than that, but again, it gives you an idea, you know?
That definitely, thank you, Sam. And on today's guest, let me just back it up a little bit in case folks are just tuning in. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We're live this morning. It's our show number 711, show number 711 on this Wednesday morning, May 11th of 2022. New York time is about 8:19. We rarely give the time in California, but it's about, I'm not going to tell Sam. Sam is a little after 5 this morning out there where you are. And today's guest comes to us, again, from the West Coast. Sam Inon is the man behind BOBSA.org. And we're saying BOBSA. That's as in Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. So it's BOBSA.org is what we say. And I'm raising my hand, Sam. I'm raising my hand. I, too, am a member of BOBSA. I've been, I think, since I kind of got on you guys' radar and vice versa. We love BOBSA. And I've known Sam for a very, very long time, and we've worked together many, many times throughout the years. Well, Sam, we've got a lot more to get into. I'm going to work
one
back
thing,
in
Nicole
Marie.
One thing I want to say. One piece that we have, technology has just really taken over. You know, the last 2-3 years, it really pushed the technology for everything, okay? So most of the number one thing that I get all the time is I would shop a black beauty supply store, but where is one located? So that's why we created the app. You can get it in the Apple store. And so you can download it on your phone, and people can beauty supply stores can register, even if they're not a member of BOBSA, they can register in the Apple store, on the Apple platform, and they become within a locator. So they can, when people are going out of town or if they want to know where a beauty supply store is close to them, they just, you know, download the app and then just put in their zip code, and it'll tell you exactly the closest. Black on.
Sam, what is the name of the app again? I'm sorry.
It's BOBSA Directory app. It's on the BOBSA website on the directory.
Okay, so go to BOBSA.org, folks, BOBSA.org. Mm-hmm. Download this app. Sam, I love that because you've simplified something. Listen, when I came along in the beauty business, in the hair and beauty business in 1995, there was just a whole bunch of things. It was very decentralized. There were things all over the place. There was not a real central focus like this. And technology was nowhere in sight like that. So, you know, we used to have all kind of referral folks trying to start up and all kind of crazy stuff. Believe me, I'm not going to take you down back down that road. But I love this that you have designed an app to facilitate this part of the process. So real good stuff.
Let me just say one thing.
Go right ahead.
Now, I noticed that you've always had your product. Now, can you imagine if you had a distributor here in on the West Coast or one in Florida and they would buy your product, how valuable that is for you as a small manufacturer? I mean, think about that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that was unbelievable. They would buy your product and, you know,
they
would sell it in another area for you. Now you're getting distribution, you know. And then
exactly.
The other thing, too, is when small manufacturers like yourself, you have to think volume rather than, you know, making 50%. Something costs you a dollar, you want to sell it for $2. You know,
yeah,
that's great
absolutely.
If you can say ones and twos and three and four, you know. You have to
correct.
Think volume. That's why you need the distributors. And, you know, you could do that all over the country. We had distributors all over the country, even Alaska. You know, you can imagine how much reach that you would have on your product.
Absolutely. And me, Carrie Hines, I totally subscribe to that theory. I'm a person who 1,000% supports the idea and notion of having distributors. For me, it's the idea that you can't be everywhere, but your distributors can be. And that's the thing. And the more people that you have introducing your product out there, the better. So I'm loving it. I think this is great. You have a whole plan that you do with rolling out distributorships and things like that, that it all kind of works and fits one piece, you know, just different puzzle pieces. So listen, she's been standing by, and she's got some questions of her own. So listen, Sam, I'm going to just take a moment. I'm going to get on a commercial or two. And when we come back, she's just joined me here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And I'm super excited to have her roll into a big interview with Sam Inan, the man behind BossFood.org.
I got one question. I'm from Bigford.
Yeah.
Where is that town that she's?
Oh,
Water Valley.
She's from Water Valley.
You said you're
okay.
From Bigford?
Well, Nicole,
Bigford,
that's
my
car.
We're going to get more into this. Sam, I've got your old commercial here for You Go Girls. I'm going to get that on now and see if it still applies and all that. And we'll talk a little bit more. We've got the amazing Sam Inan and Nicole Marie out of Water Valley, Mississippi. And I'm Carrie. I stay with us. We got a lot more to go, more to unpack this morning.
You Go Girl. You Go Girl is a brand new product line that includes an edge control hairsprays and a product that also offers relief to those dealing with an itchy scalp. Now, if you're looking to moisturize and hold twists and locks in place, You Go Girl offers a gel cream. And for the hair braiders out there, You Go Girl has a hair brand that's made of the highest of quality hair. Now, it's available in a variety of colors and textures. So, go to www.yougogirlbraidhair.com. That's you like uniform, gogirlbraidhair.com. And tell them you heard about them right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. You Go Girl.
And I'm shouting out the Hair Radio Show with Carrie Hines.
Crystal Jones Vaughn of Assuage Hair and Body, and I love the Hair Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. I'm Valerie from Validate Your Beauty. I am giving a shout out to the Hair Radio Morning Show, Carrie Hines.
As women, it seems like we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders, and that weight is directly balanced between your two feet. And with this balancing act, who do you think is suffering? It's not the kids. It's your feet. While running errands, paying bills, or dodging traffic, you could be ruining your feet. Wearing the wrong shoes for the wrong period of time can cause more damage than you think. Hammer toe and bunions are the leading deformities in black women, and Dr. Yolanda Raglan is the first black and only female podiatrist with practices dedicated solely to the correction of these type of deformities. So let this black girl do some magic and fix your feet. For more information, visit fixyourfeet.com, providing medically necessary surgery with a cosmetic result.
The Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to honor the incredible achievements of Ms. Cicely Tyson. And from today forward, all of our in-studio live guests will wait here to go on the air in our newly minted Cicely Tyson Hair Radio Morning Show Green Room. Stay tuned. All right, we're back live. It's Wednesday morning, May 11th of 2022. It's our show number 711. I was just taking a quick coffee break on coffee, tea, and conversations. I think we just had one of our responders who commented, Sam, in about your site at bopsa.org as being a beautiful website. So you guys need to definitely check it out. Bringing back to the line, of course, Nicole Marie, and my brand new co-host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Good morning again.
Hello.
Nicole. Welcome to mid-show.
Good morning.
Yeah, well, actually, I keep saying mid-show, but we're rolling. Yeah, we're rolling into the last half hour here.
Yes,
you're out in Water Valley, Mississippi. Yeah, Central Time Zone, where the time is about 7:28 where you are, Nicole Marie, and I'm out here on the East Coast. This morning, we are covering three different time zones right here on this live broadcast. I'm bringing back to the line Sam Enon, who is the BOBSA man, Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. That's what it stands for, BOBSA.org is his website. And as I just mentioned, Sam, Noor is a big fan. Okay, so you're getting on out there. Good morning again to
Great.
You, Sam Enon, and all the way from California.
Good morning.
Yes, good morning. I was just saying, Sam, we are covering three different time zones. That says a lot.
That's
it
great.
Says a lot. Yeah, I'm on the East Coast in Brooklyn, New York. Nicole Marie, my amazing new co-star, she's out in Water Valley, Mississippi. And Sam Enon is out from Northern California, the Bay Area, out in Cali. So real excited to have you guys
That's
with
great.
Us. Okay, before commercial break, we mentioned I was going to just have Nicole Marie roll on in. So, Nicole Marie, take it away.
Yes, good morning again, Sam. It's such a pleasure to be speaking with you this morning.
Yes, good morning to you.
Yes. Well, I would say if I am a listener and I'm interested in opening a hair supply store, whether that be brick and mortar or online, I've already registered with BOBSA.org. What are some of the first steps that I would need to do?
First thing I ask you, do you have a name for your store? You'd be surprised if people don't even have a name. Because then
that's a good one, Sam.
That's true. I mean, do you have a name? And you tell me, no, I don't. And then I direct you to go and find if your name's available. Okay?
Okay?
And if it's difficult for you to come up with a name, use your initials. Use your initials.
Right.
Because, you know, don't get – but as long as you – in your initials, you know, whatever, JB, mm-hmm. Beauty Supply, you want to put beauty, you know. You got to put beauty somewhere there. And then after you do that, you got a name, and I ask you, have you looked around? What size store are you thinking about? And usually they say anywhere from 12 to 1,500 square feet. And that's a standard size store. It's a size a little less than, maybe a little less than, larger than Sally's, a Sally store. And that's where
okay.
I get them to start thinking about that. Because everybody has a passion, and they all want to, you know, get their own business going. But then you have to really, then you ask them, how much capital you have? And most of them say, well, I have, you know, $30,000, $40,000, okay? That's not going to be enough. There's enough to get started, but you're going to need to get some additional capital. So we work that through, okay? Then I ask them, what category, what customer you want to focus on. A lot of them want to just do hair, but you got to have wet goods and shampoos and all that stuff in there too. A lot of times salons come to us and they want to open up a store in the back room or whatever. We walk that through them. So we were charging $150. We had just raised it from $500 to $800 because it takes a minute. We have to hold their hand, especially if they have no background in retail or anything like that. But it's great for us because then we kind of mold them and kind of teach them the right way, you know. And then we just started, you know, helping them with it. Help them with the shelving. You know, we can help them build a store out. We have them with the flat walls to go on the walls to hang the hair. Then we just, you know, coach them. We become their mentor, you know, and walk them through the process. Then it gives an opportunity to put in products that are not traditionally in the Korean beauty distributors. We get into black products that we can put into the store. We try and get them to open up a section in their store where strictly black products manufactured, you know, black-owned companies. And it takes about, you know, about 2 to 4 weeks if everything falls in place on time. And then we also help them with the real estate, with the lease agreement. We walk them through that process too. And then that's
from start to finish with the total process. Great. Okay. Also, I heard you before mention that our biggest problem is the startup capital, and you touched on startup capital a little bit. So my question is, what are some suggestions that you have for people to obtain startup capital?
Well, you know, we know why the reason is the startup capital, but in our industry, especially because the Koreans had started financing themselves. They would help each other, you know. They never used a traditional bank. Now, there's some Chinese banks that came over here, but traditionally they would get the – because when you open up a store, you actually need 60-day dating on your inventory. We had 60-day dating on our inventory when they opened a store. It would be great. That's what the Korean beauty supply stores, that's what they – when they start, that's what they get from the distributors. So we have had many companies that come to us and tell us that they can get capital for our members. But, you know, you have to be very wary of those companies because a lot of them just want to clean up your credit. And most of our people, their credit is below 600, it's 550, you know. We have some that can do 700. They can get capital. But you have to be very careful when you work with these companies rather than working with a traditional bank. Now, there's a move going on. There's a lot of black banks in the United States. We're trying to do some things to get organized with that, but that takes a minute. But it's hard to get capital, you know, for us. It's hard to get to start a business, you know what I mean? So, but we're working on some things. There's some money out there. We have to figure out a way of getting it, and we need more expertise
that money.
In that area in our organization. We're always looking for people because I don't know everything, and I don't want to know everything, but I know what I know. When it comes to other things like that, we try and bring vendors or people that have better knowledge than me in that area.
I'm just loving this information.
Well, Carrie, I know you want to jump back in.
Oh, I still want to know where Mrs. is. How far is that? Carrie, hold on a minute. I'm going to ask her, do you drive by Mrs. Vicksburg?
Well, Vicksburg is actually to the south. I'm in North Mississippi. I'm about 15 minutes from Oxford and about an hour from Memphis. So we're in North Mississippi. So Vicksburg is down past Jackson. We're 2 hours from Jackson.
Yeah, and we're 45 minutes from Jackson.
You're a California boy. How do you know about that part of Mississippi? Get out of here. You're from out in the Bay Area.
Yeah, you know, forget your roots, though, you know.
Forget home.
Yeah. Sam, I wanted to take a moment and shift gears for just a moment. you had suffered like a recent kind of a passing of sorts, and this is a gentleman who had done so much with his life. I'm talking about your uncle, I believe, that made such a mark and impression on you. You shared a little bit of his life with me outside of the radio show. Is it possible you could just touch on some of his amazing highlights and things like that with our fans? I think they would love to get to know him a little bit.
Yeah, my uncle, Clarence, he was quite a man.
Yeah.
Of course, that's my dad's brother. He's from, they're all, we're all from Mississippi, so, you know, that's where we're from. And he had three sons.
Oh, you really are from Mississippi? I thought you were
Yeah, from Vicksburg. Yeah. I'm from Vicksburg, I tell you. How many people you know from Vicksburg?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Making that
wow.
Mississippi connection.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
See.
Yeah.
All
yeah.
right. Wow, I'm sorry.
Well, when I tell people I'm from Mississippi, they always think about, you know what, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So anyway, my uncle, you know, he was quite a young man, and I didn't realize it, but I heard that he had his own business, but he had a cleaning business. And you think of a black person having a cleaning where they would press clothes and clean clothes, you would think of the Orientals. But he had a cleaning business right across the street from his house.
Oh.
And yeah, he would fly out here. The last time he came out here, he was 80 years old. Do you know he flew on a plane and rented a car and drove to my house?
At 80-something years old,
wow.
You're kidding.
89. He was 89.
Wow.
And his son used to work with me in Brooklyn. That's why, you know, he used to be a sales rep. He lived
wow.
in Hackensack. He lived in Hackensack,
New
Jersey.
Oh, Hackensack, New Jersey, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And
oh, well.
he used to call on all of the salons when I had a product called European Silky Wrap. And he
wow.
was the salesperson up there. Hackensack.
Wow.
Elizabeth, in the town of Elizabeth, I had a beauty supply store.
Yeah,
Elizabeth,
exactly.
Yeah.
I've worked
so,
there.
So, yeah,
wow.
I used to fly out there all the time and run the streets and call on salons, barbershops, braiding shops. It was nice, you know, and he died before his dad did, you know, and both his sons died before, you know, their dad. You
wow.
know? And they,
wow.
my uncle could talk, and then when all of them talked, I mean, you couldn't get in a word with them. And
it runs in the family, Sam.
my cousin Charles, he used to call on salons, and he
yeah.
would love to call on salons. He was a school teacher too. He was a school teacher. He's
wow.
a call on. He just loved to call on the salons because he loved to talk. He could never
yeah.
he could never do more than two calls a day because he would spend all his time talking to the stylist.
Wow.
And then
when he
would overtalk and sell, he'd already sold the merchandise, and when he finished, he forgot what he came there for.
I actually love that because I can relate, as you guys, the fans of the Hair Radio Show know, you know, I totally can relate. I'm the same way. You go out, you do the sale. You literally forget because you get so engaged, and that means that speaks so much to what kind of person he was, his character. So it speaks so much, and I
yeah.
love that. That to me is what, you know, the mayor kind of person. I love.
Yeah.
You know, we call people, you know, the mayors, where they, you know, get along with everybody, go out. You're happy to see them when they come down the street and that kind of thing, always smiling. You know, it means so much to people, and it touches folks in a very special way. So, Sam, I'm just
yeah.
happy, even for a moment or two, to pay tribute, especially he was in the hair business and beauty business, as far as I'm concerned. And making
yeah,
an
yeah.
impact, and it made an impression on Sam, and so I'm very pleased about that, and others.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I like Uncle Clarence. Okay.
By the way, thanks
Sam,
for asking about that, too.
Yeah.
Thanks about that.
Oh.
I appreciate that.
Listen, you know, we're all family here, and these are things that we deal with, you know, And sometimes we don't get a chance to talk about losses on this show because, you know, we try to keep it upbeat on the Hair Radio Morning Show. But I have to always say, you know, I remember when my dear brother, who's passed away like in September this past year, and he came on the show and told everybody to come to my event in 2019 and they better be there and all this kind of stuff. Just people who support us and they just stand out and they've made such an impression for the rest of our lives on us. You know, we won't forget. So I've taken on my brother's memory, so to speak, Sam, by always, I use his words of peace out now. I always say peace out at the end, that I've kept on his little tradition there. And we just love everybody for just inspiring us right here. And we try to do the same for others at the Hair Radio Morning Show. So you, Sam, and I are no exception from Bob. So that's what you do through your work anyway. You know, you're helping to kind of take, I don't know if you heard Maggie Anderson. I call her the female Sam Enon, okay? Maggie Anderson comes in and takes no prisoners on this broadcast, let me tell you, every day, talking about Black-owned businesses and why it's so important to support. And she does it in a nice way, too, and that's what it's all about, and we appreciate that. Sam, I have to get on a piece that I have loved. I've run this piece many times. Sam, the last time Sam was with us on the Hair Radio Morning Show, Nicole Marie, he forgot all about this piece, and I never have. But Sam, ever so often, Sam sends me little things and things that he's involved with through BOBSA, and sometimes the TV folks come a-calling. They really do, Sam. And I don't know if you remember this. It's only about 5 minutes. Sam's at the end of this. It's a clip from CNBC. That's a network. And so they interviewed the folks on about black hair, the history of black hair. So it has some moments because this is a video that we've converted for your audio pleasure this morning. So, Sam, I'll ask you about it on the other side. What do you remember about this, if anything, okay? So take a listen, and Sam will be on at the very end. It's about 5 minutes or so. It's CNBC and the history of black hair. We'll be back with more from Sam Enon, myself, Carrie Hines, and Nicole Marie right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
The history of black hair, our hair story. The history behind all elaborate designs and hairstyles originated in different ethnic groups in Africa. The first known example of dreadlocks date back to ancient Egypt, where dreadlocks appeared on many artifacts. Ancient Egyptians with dreadlocks have also been recovered from archaeological sites. Socially, hair grooming played a significant part in status and identity in African tribes. It was a way to identify someone's social status based on ethnicity, social rank, age, marital status, wealth, fertility, manhood, religion, and death. Twisting, braiding, cotton or wool thread weaving, adding animal fat or mud and clay were all techniques used to create these elaborate looks. Due to styling taking hours and sometimes days, much like today, women use this time of beautifying as a chance to socialize and form meaningful bonds with one another. In 1444, Europeans began to kidnap Africans of all social statuses and trade them on the west coast of Africa. Many wore elaborate hairstyles. Although the Europeans were first entranced with and admired the complexity of style, texture, and adornment of black hair, something had to be done to rid them of their identity to maintain control and dependency. Many slave owners shaved not only the men's hair, but women's hair as well. This was considered an unspeakable crime to many tribes. In 1619, the first slaves were brought to Jamestown. After being on a ship for 3 months in unbearable conditions where hygiene, let alone hair care maintenance, couldn't be maintained, many of the enslaved Africans' hair was matted upon arrival. The enslaved Africans were no longer allowed to speak their native languages, do traditional dances, and maintain their hair in the styles that they chose. All of the African culture and grooming traditions began to disappear. Slave owners wanted to cut off the enslaved Africans' connection to their true selves. They pushed their standard of beauty, fair skin, straight hair, and thin facial features. African dark skin, kinky hair, and wider facial features were deemed unattractive. Because of this, lighter skin, straight hair slaves commanded higher prices at auction. Due to brainwashing and internalizing color consciousness, many blacks promoted the idea that dark skin and kinky hair were less attractive and worthless. The enslaved Africans were given no way to care for their hair.
In the 1800s, without combs and the herbal treatments used in Africa, they were forced to use bacon grease, butter, kerosene, and sheep brushes to maintain their hair. In 1845, metal hot combs are invented by the French and available to the United States. Many people believe Madame C.J. Walker invented the hot comb, which is incorrect. She developed a range of hair care products for blacks and popularized the press and curl style. In 1865, slavery ended, but the emotional and psychological scars lived on and are still evident today. Quote-unquote good hair, or hair that is finer, curlier, and closer to that of Europeans, becomes a prerequisite for getting jobs, entering certain schools, churches, and social groups. In the 1920s, Marcus Garvey, a black nationalist, urged his followers to embrace their natural hair and reclaim their African aesthetic. He is quoted as saying, "You must remove the kinks from your mind, not your hair." In 1954, George E. Johnson launches a permanent hair straightener for men that can be applied at home. A women's chemical straightener quickly follows. In 1962, actress Cicely Tyson wears cornrows on the TV drama East Side, West Side. This was a big deal because braids weren't considered a finished look for an adult woman. Usually this style was only worn inside the home. Angela Davis became an icon of black power with her large afro. The afro became a symbol for black power and pride. Kinky hair and dark skin is embraced, and the phrase "black is beautiful" is coined. In 1968, Diane Carroll is the first black woman to star in a television network series. She is said to be the black version of the all-American girl with straightened curled hair. In 1971, Melba Tolliver is fired from the ABC affiliate in New York for wearing her hair in an afro. This caused a great deal of controversy. In 1977, the Jerry curl exploded on the black hair scene. It was deemed a curly perm for blacks, and the style lasted through the 1980s. In the 1990s, Essence magazine declares sisters love the weave, but natural styles and locks are starting to become more accepted as well. In the 2000s, relaxers, braids, and natural styles are explored by African Americans. Around 2009, there is a surge in the number of women wearing their hair naturally. Many refer to this as the natural hair movement. 2006, black hair care is a $1 billion industry. Black women consume 80% of the hair industry, but only own 3%. Keratin and Brazilian treatments are marketed to smooth and straighten natural hair without damaging the hair. Naturals soon defined this to be false. Today, black women are wearing their hair in a variety of styles, both relaxed and natural. The number of women wearing their hair naturally has increased significantly due to the education on the harshness of chemicals used in relaxers, scalp conditions, a desire to lead a healthier and more active lifestyle, and a desire for naturally longer and thicker hair. Many believe to truly embrace, understand, and appreciate our hair, especially in its natural state and how it directly relates to our culture, we must understand its history and be willing to maintain a certain level of integrity and respect regarding it. I wasn't able to list everything, unfortunately. The video would have been way too long, but I encourage you to continue to research about this subject. Thanks so much for watching. I'll see y'all next time. Peace, love, and light.
You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines. Stay tuned.
It's time to rise and shine with the Hair Radio Morning Show with Terry Hines.
Okay, we're back live. It's Wednesday, May 11th of 2022. It's our show number 711. We're kind of winding down here in the last 10 minutes of the broadcast for today. Real happy stuff, though. Real good things. Just wanted to quickly remind everybody that tomorrow, so we're talking about on Thursday, May 12th, we have a very special show. Joining us at about 8:30 Eastern, all the way from West Africa. From Ghana, West Africa, we have Ebenezer Kobina, who is the man who runs our Hair Radio Ghana as we start to push out over there. So I'm real excited. And then Friday, of course, at 8, we are continuing our countdown of your favorite TV mom. So real good stuff. We have a live panel discussion and so much more happening right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. As always, we thank our folks at Upscale Magazine and FixYourFeet.com. Along with this amazing gentleman, and I have to say, Sam has been just incredible today on the broadcast. Let me get him back to the line, along with Nicole Marie, my amazing new co-star right here each morning on the broadcast. Sam, so I have to tell you, what did you think? Is that not nice when you hear the history of black hair? Or don't you just get filled with pride when you hear stuff like this? How did you feel? When you hear that they're trying to put the facts out there to and debunk the myths, like I said, a lot of folks in the piece, I think it said that Madam C.J. Walker, they thought she invented the hot comb, and that's just not something that actually happened. It's a myth.
Yeah, that's true, and because her name is out there all the time, that's why. We draw our own opinions about that, a lot of things in the hair industry. And the styles really start at the chair, the stylist chair. Those are the people, like, and usually a lot of them were men that started the styles, especially the curl, just blew up. And that was actually created by men, men hair stylists, So that just really just exploded our industry. The Jerry curl, and then the World of Curls, and then Leisure curl, and on and on and on.
And Sam, so, we have just posted pictures of you with your Jerry curl style. Don't think we've forgotten all about that, Sam.
No,
I
had a what they call a cavadas. You know what that is?
What's that? No.
That's a short hairstyle. It was a cavada.
That's what
they called it.
Not the TWA, like the teeny weeny afro.
No. This is a cavada. They call it cavada. Man, I tell you. I can give you a little history.
I never
cavada.
Felt that one.
Right. Look it up. Google it.
No, I didn't put up pictures of Sam with Jerry Cole, so don't go there thinking that. I better tell folks that didn't quite happen. Sam, I have to say, we just love having you here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We really do. you always bring it on the show. You really do. You help to shed a whole new light on things and, you know, and really inspire us to do better and supply businesses and the industry in general. So what can you leave us with today? What final words that you want to share with everybody? And I want to remind people, again, BOBSA.org is Sam's website. That's B-O-B-S-A. Again, it stands for the Black-Owned Beauty Supply Association. So BOBSA.org. And then there on his beautiful website, which I love, thank you for putting that beautiful banner that we created for you, Sam, there. And download his app. Plus, he's got a whole lot of other amazing things there, as he mentioned, the directory and so much more on the app. So please, please, please support BOBSA.org. Good stuff, Sam. So you get the final word, Sam, ain't I?
Well, one thing I do want to say is that technology has just changed everything in our industry. We used to be able to just get products, you know, at a brick-and-mortar store. Now you can order online, and I guess the elephant in the room is really Amazon. You know, they just have given a lot of small companies the opportunity to sell their products. However, you know, there's always a backlash to that, too. So you need to really think about many ways of selling your brand if you're a small manufacturer. There's a lot of them out there. But there's a lot of things coming up down the pipeline that's going to really help our industry. We just have to be patient and main thing, work together. You know, we have a problem thinking that we're the enemy, but it's not everybody else. But
that's not the case. Exactly, exactly.
Yeah, we
and
to
Sam,
work
you're
together,
still
and...
looking for distributors. I want to make sure and put that out there. Folks, become a distributor. Please go to BOBSA.org, connect with Sam, or touch base with us at Hair Radio. We'll direct you. Sam, thank you. You're awesome. Thank you again,
you know,
and we look forward to having you soon.
The distributorship application is right there on the You Go Girl website. You just go right to the You Go Girl website and get it, okay?
Yes, awesome.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
Well,
Sam, thank
you.
Thank
nice
you
meeting
so much.
You.
We're going to do just that.
Thank you.
Okay.
Nice
thank
meeting
you.
All
right,
Sam. Sam.
Okay, and see you in Mississippi. Okay.
You're right.
Okay.
All right. Well, I love that. Now, I have to say, I did not know Sam was from Mississippi. I'm just, he was really telling the truth, okay, Nicole Marie? He really was. All right, Sam, we love you out here. Thank you so much. Is that not, you find something out on the Hair Radio Morning Show that you didn't know every day.
Always.
So let me just thank Otto as well for holding it down this morning here on the broadcast. Nicole Marie, all of our folks who contributed. I think Nora was out there as well. And Sam Enon, the great guest from out on the West Coast. At BOBSA.org. Okay, I'll be back with you guys tomorrow starting 6, and Nicole Marie will be joining me with Otto. We'll see you then. Here's our outro, everybody.
Well, it's that time to bring this episode of the Hair Radio Morning Show to a close. But it does not end here. The show continues over at our 24/7 Hair Radio broadcast network at www.hairradio.com. Now, I must thank today's great guests and our legacy advertisers. These are the folks who've been supporting our show over the years, including Dr. Raglan, Yolanda Raglan at FixYourFeet.com. They are the very best in foot.